The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message. Is unusually blessed. We're blessed whether Morris is here or not. We're blessed whether Pastor Wayne is here or not. We're blessed whether Jim Corbett's here or not. Y'all had a great time last week without me, I understand. But every once in a while, the Lord chooses to give us a special blessing. And this gentleman sitting here with his family on this front row here has blessed us before, and we've been looking forward to his return. Go ahead and put that slide up. Evangelist Robbie Schaubert.
Schaubert.
From Messiah Ministries?
Messiah.
Messiah Ministries.
Which means
okay.
Messiah.
Yeah, we're close.
Messiah Ministries.
Is here to just tell us what God laid on his heart. And I'd just like to pray over him quickly before he comes up. Precious Heavenly Father, our heart's desire is to come before you with yielded hearts, totally empowered by your Spirit to hear the words of truth that you're going to share with us today. But not only to hear them, but to heed them, Father. So we just ask, Father, that as you have anointed Robbie, you've anointed us with your Spirit as well, so that the Spirit of truth, your Spirit, will rule and reign in this place right now. Father, as Robbie steps out in faith and opens his mouth, give him the words to speak, give him the emotions to feel, give him that sense of rightness about what he's going to say so that he speaks it out with confidence, and that where it falls, everyone who hears it, Father, will be enlivened by it. Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace, and we thank you that where the truth is, there is freedom. And Father, there is freedom in Christ. We thank you for this man. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Man, good morning. I guess it's my turn. I'll tell you what, there's a lot that's been going on, I mean, a whole bunch. And before I come out and give you what the Lord actually first gave me, you know, for, can you turn the mic down just a little bit? Because I kind of get excited when I'm asked. But what I'm giving you ain't just for you, it's for me. I mean, this weekend, this time that I've been going through has been, I just want you to hear it. So I want to share with you first. I want to share with you first some things the Lord had showed me. If you don't know me, my name's Robbie Schubert. I teach from a Jewish perspective, meaning, I mean, I've rebuilt the whole tabernacle of Moses, Noah's Ark, the tabernacle of David, and countless other things, the new holy city, Jerusalem. And I minister through visual. I mean, usually I take it and set it up, and hopefully Pastor Morris had actually said when he comes back, he'd like to have me. And I want to bring the whole tabernacle of Moses and set it up. And so you really can, you know, really grab it. But anyway, before I give you the word that the Lord had given me to just share, praise and worship was awesome. I mean, it's just, but I want to share a few things the Lord had showed me. So I don't know if you've ever heard it before. But I just want to reveal and show you some things in God's Word and what He's done to, man, to, well, check this out. I'm just going to start. Y'all ready? I guess about I don't even know how long ago it was, but it might have been 3 years, 2 years. I was reading, and the Lord works with me in patterns. He shows me things back and forth over and over and over again. And I was reading in the Old Covenant, in the Torah, and I kind of flipped back and forth the Torah, the Tanakh, and the Berit HaDashah, which is the New Testament. But some patterns the Lord was showing me, it blew me away. And what I want to do is show you, I want to show you something, and then I want to get to what it is the Lord had put on my heart. But in the beginning, the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth. And we know that when He had created Adam, the Bible says Adam was actually created outside of the garden. And the Bible says He formed him out of the dust of the ground, and He took him and He placed him inside the garden. And that's a picture there of you and I. We're not born in God's garden. We're on the outside. But once God gets us, He takes us and He plants us in His garden. And in His garden, there's trees that we actually, God has called us to take care of, and all of these kind of things. But I don't want to get off track. The Bible says that when Adam was in the garden, his wife was with him. In fact, in Genesis 5, it says that when He created them, He called their name Adam, and they became one flesh. Her name wasn't Eve until after the fall of man. Well, the Bible says that when Adam was in the garden, it says Eve was in a garden and the serpent came, and he actually, you know, deceived woman. And it says literally that here in this picture in the garden, the Bible says it's where Adam communed with God. It's where he had fellowship with God. It's where God spoke to him, where he heard God and all of these things. And it was a place of intimacy that Adam had with the Lord while he was in the garden. But what's amazing, it says in the Bible in Colossians, it says that Jesus is the last man Adam, or the second man Adam. The Bible says that He was the last Adam. There is no more Adam to come. He is the last Adam. Well, here, I'm reading through the Word, and I noticed that, and not getting into a whole bunch, but literally, I can take the Word, you know, God's Word, the sword, I could take it and literally and prove to you beyond the shadow of a doubt that literally the garden that was eastward in Eden is literally modern day the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, it sounds kind of, most people teach that it's about, or they say it was about 700 miles away by the Tigris and the Euphrates. And you know, but when we get into the Word, I can show you some things that'll just totally flip you and show you that beyond the shadow of a doubt. In fact, the Bible says that Abraham, God led him to a land that flowed with milk and honey. He took him to this place, Jerusalem, which Mount of Olives. And then the Bible says that He led Moses and Joshua to this land that flowed with milk and honey. It's where Jesus came. The Tree of Life came the first time. It's where the new holy city, Jerusalem, is coming back to. So it's by no coincidence. He ain't going to Iraq or anything like that. He's coming to Jerusalem because literally when God stamped the earth, the Bible says that He put His name in the earth. And if you look at a vertical map of Israel looking down, now Israel is only, check this out, Israel is only 40 miles wide. I was there in 2006. I just got back the year before last. But Israel is only 40 miles wide and 150 miles long. Yet you got all this contention that's going over this for this little bitty speck of dirt. Why? Because the same place God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the same place God walked with man in the beginning is the same place God is going to walk with man in the end. He's never changing. That's why Jerusalem. That's where Abraham took his son to sacrifice him. That's where literally, if you go to the Hebrew Talmud, literally it says that Adam literally laid or built his first altar on Mount Moriah, which is Jerusalem, where they built the tabernacle, the temple on the mount. It's the same place that it just so happened that Jacob, it says Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, Jacob actually right there in Jerusalem, you know, puts his head down by the Jordan River on a rock, and he sees the ladder going up and down from heaven. Remember, angels ascending and descending, and where he seen them ascending and descending was on top of the Mount of Olives. That's why the temple was there. That's why the temple is going to be, you know, rebuilt there. That's why the new holy city, Jerusalem, is coming back there. That's why Jesus, when he comes back and he sets his foot on the Mount of Olives, he's going to walk into the eastern gate of Jerusalem. It's always been the place. But what blows me away, this is another little afterthought. It's amazing because when the 12 tribes of Israel, when Joshua led the 12 tribes of Israel and they crossed over the Jordan, and brother, we can get into something that is unbelievable right there. But when the 12, when Joshua, whose name means Jesus, Yeshua, or Hoshea, which means Jesus, was leading the 12 tribes of Israel over the Jordan, Jesus, who his name is Yeshua, same name, led the 12 disciples, same exact thing, to the same place. The Bible says that when Joshua crossed over, it's where he set up. It's where, anyway, I'm getting off track. I mean, we're going to...
You can't keep them hanging now, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, let me slow down, man. Anyway, I don't want to get off track because it's going to lead into something. But anyway, if you remember, I would just say this. When David, when Saul had lost the ark and the Philistines had it, and they had it for 6 months, and they all broke out with hemorrhoids and the plague of rats. Remember that? And they made, this is unbelievable, it says they made 7 golden hemorrhoids and 7 golden rats and put it on an ox cart and sent it back. Well, anyway, it was amazing. When the ark came back, it went to Jerusalem, straight into Jerusalem through Beth Shemesh. And in 1 Samuel chapter 6, the Bible says literally when they came, they removed the mercy seat. And when they removed the mercy seat, God's law, and whenever you take the blood off the seat, and you remove Jesus, God's judgment hit, and he slew 185,000 people right there, just smack dead. Meaning, don't fool with Jesus. And you hear what I'm saying? The words that was given today, and I don't want to lose track, but the words that was given today, I really appreciate the prophetic. I mean, just the gifts of the Spirit moving and operating, man, just to hear it. I haven't heard it in a long time. You know what I'm saying? The word that came forth, the two words. The Bible says, let everything be established by 2 or 3 witnesses. The word is established. Yes, Jesus is coming soon. And I can prove it to you beyond the shadow of a doubt. But anyway, I don't want to lose grip. And just, I got off showing that, you know, a little bit that where God had walked with man with the first Adam. I want to bring you back to there. It's by no coincidence. The Bible says that Jesus is the second man, Adam. In fact, if you go back to the picture in the garden, here in the garden, you got Adam. Now, I want to show you something real quick. I'm not worried about time today, okay, because I need to give you something. But it ain't going to be boring, I promise you. If it is, get up and leave. But I want to tell you something. Literally, the Bible says in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, he said, let there be light. That light, we know the sun was created on the third day. So that light he spoke, he said, and he saw it, and it was good. There's only one is good. The Bible says the only good is God. That light he spoke was literally Jesus pre-incarnated. It was, the Bible says in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 25, he said, let us, God the Father and the Son, make man in our own image. Now I want you to grab this, because this is where it's going to start getting good. So here God speaks the light, and I'm just going to call him Adam, Jesus, okay? I'm going to call him the second man, Adam. He speaks the light into existence, which is actually Jesus incarnate. The Bible says in Colossians, nothing made that was made. Everything was made by Jesus. Remember it says that? Not one thing. So here Jesus comes, and he's spoken into time, because there is no time where God's at. Okay, he speaks him into time, and literally the Bible says that he creates man after his own image and after his likeness. So literally, I pictured, God showed me, literally, Jesus bends down. This is where I lost you. It just so, remember I said he created man, and I might jump around, but remember Adam, I said he took him, he was formed outside of the garden, and then after he formed him, he placed him inside of the garden. Well, just so happens to be that the Bible, Adam's name means Adum, which means red earth, okay? So he formed them out of the red ground. The only red ground that's in Israel is the land that was given to Naphtali. And it just so happens where the first man, Adam, was taken from the ground was in a little town called Bethlehem. The same place, check this out, that God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground was a place that's now called Bethlehem. And it just so happened where Jesus was born was in Bethlehem, because that is the, he is the second man, Adam. Now watch this. Jesus forms Adam out of the dust of the ground. And the Bible says that he makes him in his very image and likeness to the T. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying that when Jesus formed him, his name wasn't Jesus yet, because his mama named him Jesus, or God told him his name shall be Jesus. I don't want to misinterpret the scriptures. Anyway, so when he formed him, he made a twin. Okay? So let me put it to you like this, which Jesus is perfect. But what I'm saying is, if Jesus had a bump right there, the man he just formed out of the ground had a bump right there. He was looking. He beheld himself in a mirror, 1 Corinthians 13. It's like a man beholding himself in a mirror. Remember? And God wants us to remember who we are. So here he is. He forms this man that looks exactly like him. And he says, he calls his name Adam, because, and that's why Jesus is the second man, Adam. Okay? This is why he looks exactly like him. Now, if you go on, you'll find out that after Adam sinned, it's amazing, because after he sinned, it says, in Adam, after the fall out of the garden, Genesis chapter 4, it says, and Adam bore a son. Now watch, words change. Hebrew words change. It says, after his own image and after his likeness bore he Seth. Meaning Adam was in a fallen state. Now, no longer was man being created in the image and likeness of God, but because of sin, now Seth is born with sin after Adam's own image and likeness. So here in the garden, Adam communes with God. It's a place of fellowship. He gives him the two commands. You know, you can do anything you want. You tend it, take care of it. This is yours. You shall, rule and reign over everything. Adam, literally, he was the prophet, priest, and king in the very beginning. And he says, you shall have dominion and all of these things. And it says, and then the serpent was in the garden. Remember? Well, I go to the New Testament and I'm reading. And when Judas betrays Jesus, man, I was reading, and something blew me away, because he said this. Now, reading in Colossians, the Bible says that Jesus is the second man, Adam. And he says this. He says, do you know where he is? And he betrays him for 30 pieces of silver. Okay, he buys the potter's field with that, which that gets into something. But anyway, and he says, and Judas says this. He says, yes, I know where he is, for he visits the garden. It's where he prays. He visits the garden frequently. Literally, it's where Jesus communed with God. The first man, Adam, communed in the garden, and it's by no chance that the second man, Adam, Jesus, he goes to, listen to this, the very exact same place where Adam literally had fell is the very same place that Jesus come and he prayed and communed with God. Now, I'm not talking about across the street or anything like that. I'm talking about I was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was the exact spot, the same place where Adam was in. Let me put it to you like this. Adam was in the Garden of Eden. His wife Eve was there. Eve betrayed him, the Bible says. And Satan was there. Jesus was in the garden. Listen, it blew me away. Judas betrays Jesus, we're the bride of Christ, with a kiss, which speaks of intimacy. Now watch this. He's showing a repeat. Satan's in the garden, and I was like, and I'm looking at, I'm seeing the same thing. Well, it's amazing, because when Adam was in the garden, when the second man, Adam, Jesus, was in the garden, the Bible says that when they come to take him, the Bible says, literally, it says, stand up, brother. We'll see a kind of faith. Put your Bible down. The Bible says when they come to seize Jesus, they had a man in there, standing in the middle. Not too close. I don't want you to get no blood on him. Okay. The Bible says that when they came to seize Jesus, the Bible says that Peter, now watch this, pulled out a sword. And it says that And Malchus, who is a priest, was carrying the high word of the high priest to come and seize Jesus. It says Peter took out a sword, and when he took out the sword, he came down, whop, and cut off the right ear of Malchus. Sit down, my friend. Now watch this. And it says in the last miracle that Jesus does is he picks up the ear and heals the man's ear. How many has read that?
Yeah.
We all know that. Okay, great. I'm like, Lord. And I'm like, all right. Why did Peter cut off the man's ear? And I'm sitting here. Now, I mean, my mind's rolling. And I'm like, okay, I see Adam and Eve and Satan in the garden in the beginning. I see you, Jesus, in the garden. I see Satan in the garden. I see the bride. You're trying to say something here. What's going on with the ear? And then all of a sudden, the Lord hit me. And he said, where did Adam commune with me? I'm like, in the garden. He said, Adam, when I would speak, it's where Adam communed with me. It's where he had fellowship with me. It's where Adam heard me. I'm like, but because Adam sinned, the Bible says the angel with the sword's back in the garden. You hear me? Remember, Peter had the sword in the garden, and an angel came with a sword and put Adam and Eve out of the garden because they disobeyed God. God told them to angel to remove them from the garden. The Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Because Adam disobeyed, he lost his hearing in the garden. His hearing was severed and he was put out of the garden, no longer to hear God. That whole incident in the garden, when Peter takes out a sword, it's by no coincidence a sword, because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when he cuts off the right ear of Malchus, it didn't have nothing to do with the healing of an ear. The first miracle he did was change the water to wine. That has a meaning. The last miracle he did was he healed an ear. That's what they say. Wrong. What he was saying is, Jesus, the second man Adam, where the first man Adam disobeyed and lost his hearing, I am here to restore the hearing back unto man. My God, son, if that don't get all over you. I was like, Lord. That's why Jesus said things like, those who have ears, let them hear. He ain't saying those things for no reason. He's saying them for a reason, because not everybody has an ear to hear God. Listen, it's got to be the right ear, because the right ear is the right standing with God. Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father. When they anointed the priest to take office, they anointed the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe. Hear the word, do the word, and walk in the word. Listen, what I wanted to do was come and restore. God wants to restore your hearing. He wants you to hear what it is he's about to say. Now watch this. That's awesome. But I'm going to get a little bit deeper for you. Let's just, instead of reading what's on the surface, let's go under. Let's see what's underneath the pages. Let's kind of dig a little bit. Watch. Never understood this, man, until this time. God began to just show me things I've never heard before. And I was raised in a church. I'm like, Lord, if I'm going to go out there, you got to give me something good to give people. I'm tired of the milk. Give me the meat. Feed me. I'm hungry. I need something. Man, and I'm reading, and the Spirit's just, and I'm like, and when Jesus rose from the dead, it said things like this. And he appeared to them, and they didn't recognize him. I'm like, Lord, why didn't they recognize him? And let me put it to you like this. Let me set you in the scene. The Bible says that after they killed him, they buried him. And on the third day, he had rose. Mary, because it's after Shabbat, past the Sabbath, she comes running down to anoint. The tomb's opened up already. He's already, you know, out of the grave. And it says that when Mary looks in the tomb, it says that she saw the grave clothes laid out. They were bloodied. Remember, he was shredded. He was a pulp. All the blood is on the seat. Listen to this. You ever seen the Ark of the Covenant? The Bible says, and it was an angel sitting at the head, and it was one at the feet. And the bloodstained clothes was on the mercy seat. Mary was looking at the Ark of the Covenant. She seen the mercy seat. And she turned. And perceiving Jesus to be the gardener, she says, "Where have you laid my master?" Why did she perceive him to be the gardener? Because Adam in the beginning was the gardener, and he was formed out of the very image and likeness of what he looked like in the beginning. Jesus, when he was born, he come through a woman. So he was clothed in a flesh veil. He didn't look like he looked like in the beginning when he formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. He was veiled in this flesh. And when he died, his flesh died. And when he arose, he looked like the gardener. The original Jesus from the very beginning. My God! It says that when they was walking on the road to Emmaus, it says that the disciples said, "Did our hearts not burn in us?" But they didn't recognize him. But what blew me away, it says that, and Mary said, "Where have you laid my master?" And he said, "Mary." And she said, "Rabboni, my sheep hear my voice." They don't recognize the face, but she knew his voice. I was like, "Oh, Lord. Man, my God." I mean, Lord, and God is doing the same thing. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's constantly repeating himself, trying to show us something. I'm like, man, when the Lord came in that, and let me tell you something. It was, my mind was just, ooh. I mean, it was just going crazy. Listen to this. The Bible, God didn't choose Paul, whose name is Shaul, for nothing. He chose him because he had the word in him. This ain't powerful like this. This is what Satan is afraid of. I know who you are. The power is within me. I read it. I got a sword, and ain't nothing you can do. You understand? Now it's power. This is what God is saying. When Jesus, the Word made flesh, he spoke the Word of God. It ain't I heard it or did it. No, I spent time with him. The Word is in me now. Hey. I don't even need it now. Because it's in me. When God, and I love the word. And let me say, I still need it because I live in it. But you don't understand what I'm saying. Once you have the sword, you're not wielding, a little bitty squirt gun. When Satan steps out, when you pull something out, you say, hey, the Lord rebuke you. Not me. The Lord rebuke you. I have the word. It's quick. And let me tell you something. The enemy is jumping out of the windows. They know when you're wielding power. They know what's in you. What's in you is coming out of you. The word of God, the sword. It's amazing because, man, I'm going to get all into stuff. Golly. But anyway, whoo, son. Anyway, I want to tell you this, what I'm here for. I have been going. So hopefully, the importance of God's word is getting it in you. And when the word of God is in you, the Spirit starts moving and He starts revealing things to you. The deep things of God. The meat of the word. Hey, I'll give you another one. One of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something you already know and then give you the meaning of it. How many knows the story of the Good Samaritan? Everybody knows that one. Y'all know this. We all know it. I thought I knew it too. Check this out. Man, the Bible says, and there was a certain man who left Jerusalem and went down to Jericho. And while he was on his way, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it, run through it quickly. The Bible says that robbers and thieves took him and beat him and left him half dead. And then the Bible says, and a priest came. And when he seen the man, he walked on the other side of the street and went his way. Now watch this. Let me just tell you this. I want to put you there. Between Jerusalem and Jericho is 17 miles. Okay? Jerusalem is on Mount Moriah. Jericho is in the Jordanian Valley. Okay? It's where Jesus was baptized. It's where I'm gonna get into all kind of stuff. So he left Mount Moriah and he went down into a valley. Doesn't it sound like you and us? I mean, we go in valleys. And when we go into these valleys, the enemy would take us and beat us and leave us half dead. The Bible says, and a priest came. Very good. You know your scriptures. The Bible says that a priest came. He seen the man. He didn't have no compassion on the man. He went on the other side of the street and walked his way. The Bible says, and a Levite came. And he did also likewise what the priest did. He walked on the other side of the street and he went his way. And the Bible says, and there was a certain man, a Samaritan man. And the Bible says, and the certain man, a Samaritan man, had compassion upon the man. And he took the man and he poured oil and wine into his wounds and bandaged him up and took him to an inn. And at the inn, he paid 2 denarii and he said, I'll pay you what's owed when I return. I was raised in a church my whole life. I've heard every preacher ever preach say this. And I heard this guy mention this and about this whole deal, kind of opened it up. And most people teach that, you know, when you see somebody, help them. It is. That's on top. That's what the parable of the Good Samaritan means. If you see, don't be like a Pharisee or a Sadducee or all of this, but, you know, help the people. But then the Lord said, let me show you what it really means. There was a certain man. Jesus is thinking a man. He's given a parable. All his parables were true. It wasn't something he just threw up. It says, and there was a certain man that left Jerusalem and went down to Jericho. I believe that certain man was Adam. Because Adam was in the beginning. He left Jerusalem and went down to Jericho. He went into a valley. Okay? Now, what's amazing, the Hebrew words for it says, and the enemy took him and beat him, robbed and stole from him, and left him half dead. That's exactly what Satan did to Adam. He stole from him the Garden of Eden, and now Adam was dying. He was half dead. He was dying. And I was like, but that person can be you and me and anybody. And then the next thing it says, and a priest came and he sees the man on the side of the road. And he walks on the other side of the street and goes his way. I'm like, Lord, why? And he says, and the priest represents the law. The law seen the man, couldn't do nothing for the man, went on the other side of the street and went its way. The Levites are where the priests come from. The priests are the Levites. So God says, let everything be established by two or three witnesses. Now the Levite comes, he does exactly what the priest did and goes his way. Let it be established by two or three witnesses. But the Bible says, and there was a Samaritan man, literally in John 9:8, I think it is. It says, literally called Jesus a Samaritan. Now, a Samaritan is half Jew and half Gentile. Jesus' mother was Mary, a Jew. His father was God. He is the Samaritan, watch this, who pours oil and wine. The only one that poured oil and wine, go to Revelation chapter 2. Jesus, oil and wine. That's amazing. Pours it into his wound, bandages him up, takes him to an inn. The word translates inn into church, a safe place. When you find somebody that's hurting on the outside and needs something, when you help them and you pour the oil and the wine into them, you bring them to church. This is amazing. It says that, and when he got there, he paid 2 denarii. A denarii is a day's wage. He paid him for 2 days, and he said, when I return, I'll pay you what's owed. In Hosea 6, verse 2, it says, after 2 days or 2,000 years, Jesus will return, and his reward is with him. Is that not on? That whole parable is a picture of Jesus, the Samaritan, who they have despised and rejected, heals the man, pours oil and wine into his wound, and in 2 days, when the Lord returns, he's coming back and his reward is with him. I went to a church after I left y'all. I'm going to get to what it is I want to share with y'all. I had all the stuff. I built all the ark pieces. In a lampstand, I had, when I was getting ready to leave to go to church, that evening I went and opened up my trailer just to, you know, check the pieces out and all that kind of stuff because I was setting all the tabernacle up. And when I opened the trailer up, the lampstand was broken half and it was laying on the ground. Man, I was like, you know, I grabbed the lampstand, pulled it out the thing. The weld had broken, all that. And I go in my shed, and for about an hour, I'm trying to get this thing put back together again. I got to be there in the morning. So I work on it probably an hour and a half, 2 hours, just trying to get this thing back together again. And if anybody knows, the lampstand, this is the only light that was in the holy place. Symbolic to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the oil. Here it is, the oil, the anointing. You had the priest had in the lampstand, they had to pour oil in the morning and in the evening, the light could never go out. It's symbolic to the Holy Spirit in the tabernacle, which I'm going to get into a teaching with y'all when I come back. The light of the Holy Spirit shined onto the table of showbread. And this really gets into some good stuff. But anyway, it's symbolic to the Holy Spirit. Let's just say that for now. When I come back, we're really going to get into some stuff. In Jesus' name, if God permit. But anyway, it was broke. Man, it was right at dark. I'm in a shed. I'm working, trying to get this thing put together. And I got it. I got it in a shed. I got it leaning and supported. And I'm like, good, it's fixed for tomorrow. And I got up the next morning, and when I got up, I walked out there, and I opened the shed doors, and a lampstand, don't even ask me how, it was broken in half again, laid on the ground. I was like, man, devil. You know, I'm like, man, I had, and then I had a dial. I wound up putting a wood dial through here, and then I JB welded it all, so it couldn't, in no way, it should have broke. But when I opened the shed the next day, it was busted in half. So, man, I grabbed that thing, and I grabbed the plows, and I started getting in there, and I'm all dressed up, ready to go minister. Man, I'm sweats falling off my head, and all of a sudden, man, I hear the Lord just speak to me. He says, "I don't want you to fix it." I'm like, "Wait, hold on a second, man." I'm like, "Were you?" I'm sitting there, and he just, in the way he does it, just in his spirit, and whatever it is, he said, "They have a broken spirit." Man, I cried and cried. God has got a way of getting to you and letting you know right before you go somewhere what it is He wants to say. I don't care what it is you prepared. I grabbed that thing. I didn't even say nothing. I picked it up. I put it back in the trailer. My wife's inside me. She's flipped out. I cried. I cried from Picayune to Hattiesburg. Because it was just, man, I get out there. I stayed outside in the truck. Let everything get started. Came in there. When they started singing, man, I just broken. You know, let me tell you this. This is crazy. I walk in there. I set up all the tabernacle pieces. And I opened the table up. I had a bifold table. And I walked in there with this menorah broken half right here, carrying two pieces. And my mom and my dad was with us. They didn't even know. My dad helped me build everything, him and I, and my family. And when I walked in there, my daddy, he's like, "Oh my, this is serious, stuff to us. This is really close to him." I mean, in 1972, it was prophesied he would be as of Moses. And here, 6 or 7 years ago, the Lord gives me a vision and we build in the tabernacle of Moses. That's pretty amazing. God's word is true. So I lay it down and my daddy comes over there. Bonnie, "What happened?" I'm like, "Man, Dad." I said, "Look, we got to fix it." I'm like, "No, don't touch it." "What do you mean don't touch it?" He said, "We got to fix it." Well, I got my cousin came too, Dave. He's a carpenter. I'm like, "Listen to me." I set a table up, a white table right in front of the church. I put the menorah down. I put the other piece of the menorah down. I had the drill and the hammer sitting on a table because I wanted them to see it. Man, this guy's piece of his thing has broke. So I told Tammy, I said, "Look, I'm going in a truck. I got to go get with the Lord. I'm going to sit in a truck. When it's time, come get me." So she come out there. She said, "Rob, it's time to come minister. They getting ready to start. Come on." So I walk in the door. And when I turn like that, the menorah was fixed. Perfect. It was back. It was in the thing. It was just like that. I was like, I'm like, "What did you do?" He said, "We fixed it." I said, "I didn't want it fixed." He's like, "What do you mean you didn't want it fixed?" I said, "I told you, don't touch the menorah. Leave it broke." "What are you talking about?" Man, I went over there like that. And with all the people right there, I picked the menorah up. I slid it up out the thing like that. I broke it in half. They're like, "Ugh." And I set it back down on the table. My daddy's like, "What are you doing? You lost it." I'm like, man, they start praise and worship. They start to praise and worship. And God is just, he's squeezing my heart. I mean, just, and I'm like, man, I'm just crying. Man, I got up. I stood up. I did this. The music ministry's going. I'm like, stop. Just stop. Stop. They like, what's going on? I said, stop. I said, I'm sorry. I just got to tell you what's on me. You know? So they stop. I try to get my composure all back together. And I said, let me tell you something. Man, the Lord just wanted me to share with you. To just open your eyes and show you. And open your ears to hear. Because a lot of you that are in here, you have a broken spirit. And you're going through something. So, this past week, I mean, and then God just, man, woof. This last 2 weeks, I've been driving to work. Everywhere I go, I mean, I'm driving to work. I work in New Orleans. I'm a superintendent by trade. I don't do this for a living. Yet. This is what I want to do. This is my heart's desire. Man. And I'm going to tell you something. It's weighed down on me so much. Because I want to be out there. I want to go. Every week I want to be at another church. Just sharing with people. And building them. And I'm on my way to work. I come home last two or three weeks. I said, Tammy, everybody I see is broke down on side of the highway. Ain't got no air. Front tire. I mean, I done seen a dozen people broke down, flat tire. I'm like, Lord, what are you trying to say? Because God speaks through names. He speaks through numbers. If something keeps reoccurring, He's trying to tell you something. Well, He keeps showing me these flat tires. He's trying to tell me something. But you always think, well, He's trying to, you know, He wants to, you know, somebody else. So I come home. Tammy says, Rob, you need to check the tires on the truck. They're low. I'm like, you're crazy. The truck tires are fine. I look outside and I look at them. We got the kind of wide, low-profile tires. I look at them. I said, the tires are fine. So we go someplace and I found the truck was kind of a little bit funny. But anyway, another couple of days, I looked at it. Tire was low. I had like 5 pounds in a tire. So, you know, I said, we got to stop and get air. She said, why? I said, because we're low on air. I told you. So, I'm like, man, anyway, check the air, you know. So I call Tammy Friday, my wife, and, I've been, because my heart's desire is to do this and to be in ministry. And aggravated, frustrated, upset, you know, and I'm like, man, why am I not out there? And I noticed that I started saying some things I shouldn't be saying. I'm not talking about cursing. And I'm talking about just maybe talking about somebody. Or, you know, if somebody's talking about somebody, this is the real deal. You know, I'm real. Here it is. You know, these are my work genes. As I go to work in, I'm just like you. I live paycheck to paycheck, but my heart is here. And I've allowed some stuff to get in me that I didn't realize that was there. So I called my wife Friday, and how did it go? What did I tell you? I don't know if I've seen somebody else. I called up. I noticed. I said, hey, Tammy, you know, I stopped and gave a CD to a guy I haven't seen in 4 years. Now watch this. This is amazing. I'm going to work Friday. I happen to go to another job. I ain't worked with these people in like 4 years, 3 years, whatever it's been, in 4 years. And I run into this guy who had my tape when I ministered here. I didn't know it. So I just get in touch to him. I feel burdened to get him this new CD that I had made, DVD and CD. I wanted to give it to him. So when I meet him at McDonald's early in the morning, and when I meet him, there's a I back my truck in and I park and I'm waiting for him. And when I look to the side, the car's got a front flat. I'm like, man. So he pulls up. He's from MCC, and he's a good guy. I really love him. And I ain't seen him in a long time. But when he was going through the Katrina deal, he had called me up. Robbie, do you have another tape? Me and my wife, at the time before Katrina happened, he didn't listen to the tape. But when Katrina happened, he said, I put that tape on. We was traveling from New Orleans to somewhere. We listened to that thing over and over and over. Do you got any more? Well, anyway. So when he pulls up, I said, hey, man, I give him a hug, and Troy, and man, I give him a hug and everything. Good to see you. I wanted to give you this, you know, CD. And I said, man, guess what? I'm going minister at a church Sunday. And I said, if you can make it, maybe you can come. And he says, I said, I'm going to a church in Slidell. It's called New Beginnings Church on Robert Road, because this was my beginning. This is the first place I ever preached right here. And he said, that's the tape you gave me. I'm like, what? Now, I'm like, get out of here. He said, I'm telling you, you was on Robert Road, New Beginnings Church. You talked about how you got the ministry started, how God gave you the dreams, and how Messiah Ministries came about, and all that. And I'm sitting here, and it was almost like perfect timing. Like, here it is, Friday. I'm talking to a man that I gave him y'all tape when I was here. What was it, 4 years ago? Has it been that long? Three or four years ago, before Katrina, huh? Yeah. And I give it, and now I'm giving him a new CD, first time I've seen him since that time, and I'm coming back to Robert Road, New Beginnings. Let me tell you this. We're in the year of 5768, the Hebrew calendar. It's the Jewish New Year. It's the year of entering through the gate. We're in a transition year. God is transitioning us. We're fixing. If you find yourself going through some serious times right now, it's because we're transitioning right now. God is fixing to take us into something. Well, anyway, to get back to where I was. But when he had told me that, I was blown away. And so he leaves. I get on the interstate. Right when I pull on the interstate, man, there's a dump truck right there with a front flat. I'm like, so I get to work. And I tell Tammy, I'm like, Tammy, you can believe this. I ran across another two. What is the deal with the front flat? And then all of a sudden she says, Rob, you ain't going to believe this. I got up this morning, 7 o'clock. Joyce Myers was on the TV. And she was saying some stuff. And she was talking about bitterness. You know, and how things get in unaware. Well, and that, you know, we need to really check ourselves. And I was like, man, ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. Well, all of a sudden, she started going, and the Lord just started showing me things. You know, I've been talking about this one and that one. Not bad, but looking for things. Just so aggravated that things are not going this way or that way. Frustrated because I want to be someplace, and I'm not. Why does God got me in this job? What am I doing here? You know, When I worked for Gibbs Construction like a little over seven years, I left Gibbs Construction to go work for a company to build our new church, Resurrection Life's new church. And I worked there for a year. We were supposed to start building a building. Well, a land deal fell through. You know, nothing worked out. And my hope and expectations was that this was it. This was my time. But it wasn't. And now I'm here. And I'm like, why? Why didn't, you know, and so Tammy's talking to me on the phone, and all of a sudden, God starts revealing and showing some things in my life, and how the enemy has got in, and just where, just, I'm sharing things and talking about things that I shouldn't be saying. If somebody's got something, you know, not really, it ain't got to be really bad, but even if it's just not so nice, to be saying about, I don't like the way this is going on. I don't like the way this is being handled. If I was, you know, why is it like this? And what happens is, First year I've ever planted a big garden. First time. But anyway, it's really big. And I was walking through my rows and looking at all of my lima beans I got planted. Four rows of limas. Well, after I broke down crying Friday after my wife ministered to me and the Lord used her to minister to me, Saturday I came home. I started working all in the yard while I'm in the garden. And I'm looking at the beans, you know, and the bush beans. It was like it was canopied. There was runners all over the place, you know, running. And when I grabbed it and I pulled it, I started following this runner. I thought it was a runner from the beans because the leaf looked exactly the same. But when I traced it out, it was a weed. It was just a long running, I don't know what it was. A vine. It was a running vine. Tammy was vacuuming the pool. I said, "You got to come see this." She's like, "What? Come see this." So she comes off the deck. She walks over there. I said, "Look at that leaf right there. And look at that one right next to it." She said, "Yeah." I said, "You see any difference?" "Uh-uh." I said, "That one's a vine and that one's the bush." She's like, "Look at it." "No, I'm telling you, watch." And I bent down and picked it up. And what had happened, those four rows of beans, I've been watching this garden. I work in this garden continually. I mean, just, you know, taking care of everything. But the enemy got in there. You hear me? And you know what? And I thought that I was maintaining my garden. But this enemy camouflages himself and literally began to run this vine all through my bush beans, and it canopied literally my whole four rows are like 80 foot long, 75 foot long. I had a canopy over the top of them, and I could see beans here and there, but I'm like, man, these things are doing good. You know what? It was that vine was covering the bush, drowning out the sunlight, and my bush beans started dying. And I didn't even know it. I thought it was part of the bush beans, but it wasn't. And because this whole weekend, this aggravation that's got in of everything that's been going on, you know, when are you coming, Lord? When are we going to, you know, when is you going to send the people and we're going to become a big church? When is things going to begin? Whatever it is that's going on. Whatever. Why is things happening? Why am I breaking down all the time? Why times of refreshing hasn't come? And the Lord is saying to check yourself. You're low on air. You got a flat. And that's what I'm here for. To air you back up. But listen. But not only to air you up, I'm here because this is what I'm going through. And at this time, this is what, and it might not apply to everybody. But I wanted it to first, number one, restore your hearing. Amen. Open your ears so you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And if you got any of these things that are going on and you're wondering why things are going on and stuff like this, look. Just begin to check yourself. It doesn't mean, and listen to this. This is the good thing my wife said. She said, "Robbie, it's not your engine that's broke down. You just got a flat. Well, guess what? We all got a spare. Jesus is our spare. And today, He wants to change your flat tire to get you rolling again back on the interstate. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I thank you, Lord, for you filling my tire back up with air or putting a plug in it or changing or making it all brand new, Lord. This word, Lord, you spoke to me for me. I stand here not as the leader, but as just a part of your body, Father. And I'm saying, Lord, that I need to be fixed. I need to be repaired. Because I need to get back on the road. And Lord, I want to spread things. I want to have life in me again. Where it just oozes out on people, Father. So I ask, oh God, right now. That the people, they don't need to stand up. They already know, Lord, what's in them and what's going on. Father, you know our prayers before we even speak them. So if it's you, just within yourself, tell the Lord, hey, I need to be added up. I need to be refreshed. I need whatever it is. Tell the Lord whatever it is you need. Because I'm telling you that God is here today. I don't know if he's in the other churches down the street. He probably is. But I'm telling you that God is here. And his word is, look, I want to change your flat. So, Father, in Jesus' name, give us ears to hear you, Father. Lord, take out whatever it is, Father. Reveal what the enemy has weaved in us, Lord, that's not of you. I ask it in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you for coming and showing up and being with us today, Father, for your word, oh God, is true. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. I love you guys.